we decide to pursue this ultimate goal of weight loss, believing with everything in our being that our life will somehow magically be completely different.
Welcome to the Juggling the Chaos of Recovery podcast, where we focus on health, wellness, and overcoming all types of addictions. You're in the right place if you're a mom, dad, friend, sibling, or caregiver who has a loved one who is or was struggling with an eating disorder or any other kind of addiction. In a time when everything seems heavy, I'm here to bring you a real yet lighthearted take on what the heck we are all supposed to do with our lives while we care for our loved ones who are struggling. One thing holds true throughout it all. You can't juggle the chaos without smiling, at least a little bit. So welcome to another episode of the podcast, the Juggling the Chaos of Recovery podcast. I'm your host, Moira Gorski. So glad that you came back again to listen. Another one of my favorite days. I've been meeting lots of really awesome people these days and inviting them to come on the show. So today I have another guest that's joining us. Lindsay does some really neat work in helping the community of disordered eating and mind, body, and nutrition. And I thought it would be great to have her on this this episode to share her story and also how she's used that story and her experience to help others. So before we get started, today we have Lindsay Antman. She is an eating psychology and mind, body, nutrition coach. She's also a yoga teacher. And from a personal history of disordered eating and thinking about food, as well as her training in nutrition, science, and psychology, Lindsay Antman launched her business, Mind Body Kitchen, in 2018. Through her personalized coaching program, Lindsay guides her clients to transform their relationship with food and body so that they can live their life with health and confidence, find freedom, and discover their wholeness from the inside out. So welcome, Lindsay. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Moira.
Absolutely. Excited to have you here today. So as we do, we usually start out with stories. So I know that you have a story yourself of disordered eating. And so why don't we start there, of you sharing what that was all about?
Yeah, I'd love to. And, you know, it's interesting when I think back on the journey of starting my business, that's really when I first started verbalizing my story. I don't even think I realized a lot of the things that I experienced until I started talking about it. But, you know, I love food. I always have. I grew up in a family that loves food. But like a lot of women these days, and perhaps anyone listening to this now, I've been on a journey of ups and downs in my relationship with food and my body. And so throughout high school and college, I was a competitive urban hip hop dancer, rehearsing 5 to 10 hours a week, which I really enjoyed. And dance was a huge part of my life. And looking back, I don't believe that my dance career was the only thing that contributed to my disordered eating and thinking around food. It was certainly an underlying factor. And I never would have guessed that at the time, right? So it wasn't the dancing itself or that environment, but I think it had something to do with how my brain was conditioned from a very young age of perfectionism being the one thing I probably struggled with the most. And that prompted my decision to start counting calories in high school. It quickly became an obsession for me to lose weight or manage my weight, and I didn't really have any weight to lose, truly. It was all driven by no real reason other than comparison. Because like when you're dancing, you're constantly comparing yourself to everyone around you and you want to be the best. So I think what I really wanted deep down was to be loved and accepted by others, because at the time I probably didn't believe I was good looking or good enough. And that's a trap that a lot of us fall into. Mm. So yeah, that was kind of my starting point. And then at its worst, when I was in college, I'd wake up every morning with my first thoughts being about food. My entire day, every choice I made was controlled by what I ate and when I ate and the restrictions I put on myself. This may sound extreme, but if you're dealing with this too, you know what I'm talking about. I was a slave to the scale. I was a slave to a number on a scale, and I was going about my day just flooded with negative thoughts about my body. And I was physically exhausted and cold and hungry, but I pushed myself out of perfectionism, mm-hmm. right? So by the time I was down to 100 pounds. That was when I was a freshman in college. I weighed 100 pounds, and that was my goal weight that I gave myself. And in that moment, I'll never forget it. I felt really happy and a sense of relief and pride, followed by, okay, like now what? Now what do I do from here? I realized that losing more weight probably wasn't a good idea, fortunately, because there's a lot of people that don't have that realization. And I wasn't on a path to getting what I truly wanted. So that was probably the most heartbreaking part of it all. I felt a complete sense of loss, all this hard work for nothing, because nothing in my life changed. Obviously, nothing changes except for the number on the scale, and that's when you're working towards. But we decide to pursue this ultimate goal of weight loss, believing with everything in our being that our life will somehow magically be completely different. And it was soon after that moment that I started binge eating. And at one point, it would happen almost every night. And I'd fear the moment it would begin because I truly didn't know how to stop. So then I fell into a really hard binge and restrict cycle for about 2 years. By the time I was a junior in college, I was dating. I had a boyfriend that whole year, started making some new friendships, was still really involved in my dance company. And I think it just naturally over time decreased the frequency, how often I was binge eating, and the intensity of it just kind of went away. And obviously there's a lot of factors that went into that, but that's sort of the gist of my story.
Yeah, that's interesting. And so you didn't seek any traditional treatment or programs or things like that?
I did a little bit. So when I first started experiencing this binge eating, and it came on very suddenly, almost, you know, like I'm so embarrassed to admit it, but I'd find myself like stealing my roommate's food in my dorm rooms when they weren't there and just doing all these crazy things. And then the compensation of the binge eating, exercising more, restricting myself with food even more the next day. I did this crazy thing where some nights I would sleep with saran wrap around my stomach to melt and sweat the fat away. Mm. Like crazy. But I did these things because I got all that information from the internet. And so all these things that I was doing, I truly didn't realize they were harmful. And if I did subconsciously realize what I was doing was self-sabotage, then it was all, you know, I denied it. I was basically in denial. But I knew that what I was doing, and it was somehow triggering my binge eating. And the mornings that I'd wake up and just feel completely disgusted with myself, and I'd be crying and I'd be so irritable the next day. I'm very lucky that I have a good relationship with both my parents. And the times that I was at home, like spring break, winter break, summer break, I would tell them and I would open up and just start crying, and they would listen and they love me and they just want me to be happy, but they didn't really understand what I was going through. My dad, you know, he's the logical one, and he'd say like, okay, like let's seek treatment. What do we do? And my mom's just like, well, just stop doing it. Like you can't just stop doing it. So I did try therapy, very basic forms of therapy, like the free healthcare centers at college campuses that they offer. It's like someone who's still in their master's program or something. I tried it a couple times with a few different people, and nothing really sunk in with me. I don't think I connected with any of them. And maybe it's because they didn't have training on specifically eating disorders or disordered thinking around food. Because I brought it up, but not really. And they would say, oh, everything you're going through is normal. You know, you're in college, there's a lot of stress, you're a high achiever, it's fine, this will pass. Mm-hmm. And it did eventually pass. And I'm grateful for that. But beyond the therapy that I received in college, I never really had much more than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think you listened to it. You know, I interviewed another gal earlier who's on my team who was a competitive dancer. Mm-hmm. And she spoke of some of the things, again, that you are speaking of too, and just that fixation with a number on the scale and the wrapping with saran wrap and, you know, those crazy things. And, you know, I find it fascinating. Again, you, listeners know I have recovered from an eating disorder similar to yours in that I didn't seek, you know, I didn't go into a program. I did have some therapy, college, you know, free therapy, and it helped a little bit, and had a little bit of counseling outside of that. But as I got happier in my life, then I believe that I, you know, was happier with me. And so I see some similarities, you know, in that. And again, I just found it interesting when you said, you know, you were working towards a goal, and then when you got there, it's like, yay. And then it's like, now what? Like, now what am I going to work for? Or what, or is this really all there, right? Really, is this mm-hmm. All that there is? And right. I also find it interesting to just, like, to go from one, I know that many, you know, there's anorexics who become bulimics or have those, you know, I just find that interesting that you were kind of working towards one goal, and then it was like, all of a sudden, another behavior started.
Mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm. And there's definitely a lot of things that could have triggered that. I mean, one being the lack of nutrition, right? And my body was just screaming for food. And also this feeling of out of control or not having control, because when I, you know, was working for this goal and I reached the goal thinking that all these things would come true magically, and they didn't, that sense of loss, that sense of I failed or I didn't get what I was after, that's one of the things that can trigger binge eating, is this like unexpressed or unattained thing. But yeah, it's interesting. And that's what I do with clients. You know, it's not always about the food. It's actually rarely about the food when one has a disordered behavior around it or a disordered way of thinking about food. It's never about the food. Mm-hmm. So working on the nutrition is one part, but then the mental, psychological, emotional, social, spiritual, all those factors are so important to explore.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I think that is fascinating with, I just think again, with my own experience and my daughter's experience and other people that I've spoken with, again, that, because oftentimes the eating disorders do exist with, there's always, you know, there's coexisting conditions, right? And yeah. It starts out one way, and then before you know it, it's crowded in by something else. And for the listeners, if you haven't listened to my letter that I wrote to my daughter's eating disorder, I kind of talk about that there, where, you know, she started out as an anorexic, and before you know it, the anorexic invited, or the eating disorder invited his friend OCD to come along. So, you know, I think that, I know that often happens. You talked about your, relationship with your parents, and, I always like to give light to that or have you talk about that if you're comfortable with it, because again, being a mom with a daughter and children. So it sounded like you had a pretty good experience or, you know, relationship with them, but how did it impact your relationship with them at all?
When I was going through it, I wouldn't say it affected it. Well, you know, when you're a teenager and you're a brat anyway, like, of course there was tension always because I was needy and yelling and having done the things that I did, you know, like restricting fat and restricting calories and just completely restricting all the nutrition my brain needed, that created even more irritability, and mood swings were just flared up in a crazy amount during that time. So that probably caused a bit more tension than there normally would have been in a teenage girl. But as I was trying to recover, I mean, I'm so grateful that they were just there for me to listen, and they only wanted me to be happy. Mm-hmm. In terms of how my relationship with them affected all that happened, like leading up to it, I think it's kind of all across the board. You know, when someone is struggling in their relationship with food in their body, especially if it's a young woman, I'll always ask, you know, what is your mother's relationship like with food or with her body? Or if it's flip-flopped, you know, like if I'm talking to an older woman who has a daughter and they say, yeah, you know, my daughter's going through some things. And I'll say, well, what's your relationship with that? Because oftentimes it's either the verbal messages that we get or the subconscious and nonverbal messages we get from our mothers, if we're a woman, or even dads with their sons, that we pick up on those behaviors and those ways of thinking, whether they put that on us intentionally or not. We grow up around it. And so that's what we're exposed to, and that's what we know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. I think, at least I know with my experience, I've had a little bit of guilt around that and the way that I showed up, and kind of had to come to terms with that or forgive myself for that. And again, we can't go back to the past, but again, right. Just, I think when things are realized and brought to light, then again, they can be addressed, they can be healed, those kind of
things. Yeah. So, and just for any moms out there too listening, it's, you know, don't beat yourself up about it, because and try not to hold on to any guilt, because it's not just you. And it may not even be you. Like for me, I think, like I mentioned earlier, a majority of it was my environment of dance and how my brain was trained around perfectionism and all that. So it's not just you, and it's the world we live in today. Mm-hmm. I mean, you almost can't escape the messages that we get through the world, through the media. Mm-hmm. It's all over.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. So did you find any other resources, you know, besides therapy, like any books? I always ask about books because I love to read, or books that are helping you today.
Books, I would say, I wrote a few of them down because I'm sad to admit that I don't read a lot, but the ones that I do, I want to remember and share. So I would, the first like personal growth or self-help book I ever read was You're a Badass by Jen Sincero. Mm-hmm. I would recommend this to anybody wherever you're at in your life. Girl, Wash Your Face by Rachel Hollis was actually the book that inspired me to start my business, to leave my job that I hated and go out there and do good in the world. And The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer is a really good one too. Oh, and also The Slow Down Diet by Mark David. He's the founder of the Institute for the Psychology of Eating, where I did my training. And that too, I mean, that was 2 years after I graduated college that I started that training. And man, I thought I was healed. I thought I was good, but how much more I learned about myself in that training, and how many things came to light of, oh, this is why that happened. You know, mm-hmm. And I got this overwhelming sense of, okay, I'm not alone. I'm not the only one who ever went through this. So going through the training, I know you asked about books, but that was one of the biggest learning lessons I could have ever had, that 8-month coaching training. But even more than books, as hard as it might sound and as in-depth as it can be, is, you know, really learning about yourself. It's the intentional decision and the daily practice to learn about your own body and your mind and what it thinks and what feelings trigger different thoughts. What are your habits, right? What are you afraid of? Like, you are your own best teacher. Mm-hmm. And that just takes time and practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I did have in my notes to ask about the training, because I know that you had mentioned that. So tell the listeners again, that's the...
It's the Institute for the Psychology of Eating. Mm-hmm. And they have a number of different trainings, but the one I went through was the Mind Body Eating Coach certification.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 With Mark David. And then who's the gal?
Emily Rosen.
Emily Rosen. That's right.
Yeah. They're fabulous. They're super funny and relatable, and people from all over the world do this training. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I somehow, you know, stumbled upon them on, you know, Facebook, you know, several years ago, and have listened to many of their conversations and different postings and things like that. And it's really good, really good. Mm-hmm. And that was also another question, is like, 'cause you came out of college and got a traditional job, and then you decided to do something, you know, different. Again, you said it was from kind of Girl, Wash Your Face. I mean, what can you tell us a little bit about, like, did you just have that inkling to do something different, or like, what was how did you make that decision to start your own business?
Yeah. So it's a fun story. My parents are both entrepreneurs, so I think it was always in my blood. Me being an only child and kind of having things done my way, and also being a perfectionist and just wanting to do things my way, and also have the freedom to be creative. You know, having been a dancer, I have that creative side of me. I worked in all different kinds of jobs in the food and nutrition world. My last job was working in healthcare, and I won't get into the specifics, but I was there for 10 months and, you know, decent people that I worked with, but the work itself just made me miserable and it made me sad because what I wanted to do and how I wanted to help people couldn't be done in that environment. Mm-hmm. And also the people that were there that needed the help didn't want it. So I just knew that I had so much more potential and so much to offer. So it was around the time that I was going crazy. My mental health was plummeting working in this place. So I made the hard decision to leave and start my own thing. And it was just kind of on a whim. And yeah, Rachel Hollis's book really inspired me. I was like getting all pumped up on my walks, listening to the audio book, like, yeah, I can do this. I can do anything. Mm-hmm. But really, I mean, since that moment, that was a year and a half ago almost. And the first 10 months of that, pretty much I was in the training. So it's been a journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I give you a lot of credit because you're young. And again, mm-hmm. you have that spirit that like, hey, I want to do, again, I can't do what I want to do within the confines of this traditional job. So I'm just going to create it for myself. And I think that that's great. I mean, that You Are a Badass, that book really turned my life around. You know, I was, you know, struggling a few years ago just with my own health and, you know, with everything going on around with my daughter. And I was talking with a gal on my, that works in the business with me. And she just was asking me different questions about, you know, cause I was frustrated with just a lot of just life. And she said, well, what are you all about? And like, what's your brand? What's your message? Like, what's your jam? I don't know, something like that. And, I just got a little emotional with her and said, I don't know. It seems to be so like clouded these days. I used to be this way and then life is happening. And I just feel, you know, and she said, this is the book you need to read. I mean, you need to like take yourself back. And I started this campaign of taking Moira back. I mean, I read that book and we have a pool in the backyard. So I sat by the pool on weekend and read almost the entire thing in one sitting. And I said, that's it. And so I went on this little social media campaign of, I know this is about me. I'm kind of, you know, diverting a little bit here, but went on this social media campaign of taking Moira back, of just, again, doing like, yeah, I got to take care of myself. And how do I want to show up? And again, you can be an entrepreneur. You can be a badass. You can be, mm-hmm, you know, you can be whatever you want to do when you set your mind to it. Yeah. And both of those books are really tremendous and really motivating you to, anybody really that reads them to really figure out what they want to do and then go for it. So.
Totally. And what you just said reminded me, I was talking with a friend the other day and, you know, you can read all the books and hear all the motivational speeches and everything, but when change happens, it really starts from a decision that you're worth it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true.
You have to believe that. Even if it doesn't sound like it's true just yet, you have to make that decision. I'm worth it. Mm-hmm. I'm worth my health. I'm worth my happiness. I'm worth having love in my life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's the only way.
Right. That's right. Mm-hmm. And it has to start with you, for sure. What would you say to the audience, you know, kind of as your final message, if you would, or kind of what you learned through, if there's one or two things that you kind of learned and want to make sure that the listeners hear?
Yeah, we were just talking about this before.
Right.
So I'll bring that up too. And I guess the biggest thing, and I say this about everything in my life, is that whatever you're doing or whatever you're into right now, it's a journey and it's a practice. And it's so much easier said than done, because just before this call, I was on a call with my coach, my business coach, and I was struggling in an area and I realized, or I recognized, oh, it's just a practice. And a lot of the emotions and fears and things that might trigger an addiction or an eating disorder, they can show up in other areas of your life too, not just the one. So if you think you've overcome one thing, you know, congratulations, that's amazing. But just to know that those same emotions and habits and fears and feelings, if they are not addressed, they might come back, and that's okay. I don't like to view anything as a failure or a setback. It's just another way that the universe is trying to get your attention, that it wasn't fully worked on, or more work needs to be done, or something else is triggering this to happen again. And so just knowing that when we say it's a journey, that doesn't mean that there might never be a destination. Because I mean, as long as you're living, your destination is truly death. I mean, you're going to be learning about yourself and about others as long as you live. And that's kind of a beautiful thing. That's kind of why we're here, I think.
Right. And I had a therapist say to me one time about pain, when you have pain, it just means that there's more to learn, you know, about where that, you know, what is causing that pain or where it came from. When there's more pain, there's just more to learn. So I know that with myself, with my own journey through, you know, my life and my business and my health, and that it's sometimes you go along pretty good for a while, and then something like, oops, I guess I have a little more to learn in that. And certainly I know with my daughter, many times she said, oh, I just want it to be over. And it's never really over, but it's just, I think a lot of what you said today is great to just continue to remember, is that it's your decision, you know, it's up to you, the decision, and it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to ask somebody to listen and empty your bucket too. And that life is a journey, and a journey to just continue to learn. And I think as we learn, we improve, and we just, I don't know, experience life in a different way. And it's all, you know, it's all good.
Yeah.
So where can people find you? You've got your Mind Body Kitchen. So the listeners, where can they find you? If it's social media or websites, can you share that with them?
Yeah. So they can find me on Facebook at Mind Body Kitchen, on Instagram at Mind Body Kitchen. And also my website is mindbodykitchen.org. And that's probably the best way to reach me. And my email address is on my website, so you can reach out to me anytime.
Yeah. And I'll share all that. I always share that all in the show notes. And I'm just really thrilled that you came on with me today. I'm thrilled that, you know, the way that we met, you know, I met somebody at a networking event, and he heard my project of launching my website my podcast. And he said, you know, you should meet Lindsay. And I met somebody else who's now your coach, you know, who's your coach. And she said, you should meet Lindsay. So I'm glad that we've met. I'm glad that you were able to come and share today with the audience. I'm sure that many will find value in it. And just, you know, thanks for sharing from your heart. And again, I just think it's great. It's awesome. I give you kudos for really pursuing what your heart is telling you to do, and, you know, to help other people. Because I believe we become experts by experience, and in the experiences that we go through, we can really, as we share those stories with others, we really have the opportunity to help others and influence their life too. So good for you. Yeah. Again, thanks for sharing today. And again, thanks for you listeners for coming back and listening. Don't forget to rate and review and share these podcasts so that more people can hear the helpful word and the hopeful word of recovery and a life worth living. You can always visit my website at Gorski Wellness. There's a couple of freebies over there. And again, come back next time for a big dose of hope and goodness here. And again, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time. Thanks for listening. Do you feel like your juggling of your chaos is just too much, and you want to reclaim your life and health? I'm here to help. I offer free 30-minute consultations where I can show you simple steps to help you get back on track. If you're interested, please connect with me. You can do that simply by reaching out on Instagram and send me a DM at Green Gorski, or email me at Moira@GorskiWellness.com. Moira spelled M-O-Y-R-A. I look forward to hearing from you, and take care.